Continued. Chapter 12, Part 15, Vritasura's Glorious Death. So, we just did text 17. Krishna is telling Arjuna, if you die, you will have the heavens, and if you win, you will have Hastinapur's kingdom, he was telling the Pandavas. To Arjuna. Only one thing can happen. Either you will win or lose. If you lose or die, you will get a better body and a better kingdom in the heavens. And if you win, then this Hastinapur is yours. So fight. And if you don't fight, then you would have had washed your hands from life after this death. In the heavens, you will fall into the hell. And in this life, people will badmouth you that he is a coward, he ran away from battle, he is feminine. And when he saw Kaurava's army, he became afraid and he on the plea of being kind to his relatives, look, he ran away from the battlefield. And as soon as you leave the battlefield to run away, and the Kauravas will start laughing at you and clapping, immediately you will come back. They will say, shame on you, Arjun, shame on you, you're running away. Then, Arjun, you will run back and then you'll say, I'll show you. You think I'm coward? Everybody is bound by their nature. Here Vritasura is saying in text 16, Pashyamam Nirjitam Shatru. Hey, my enemy, just look at me. You who have done 100 horse sacrifices. You just look at me. I have been totally defeated by you. But ghat manam yatha shakti tam prana jihirshaya. I am trying to take away your prana with yatha shakti, all my power. So you also apply your full power and do your duty. Why are you afraid? You have a vajra, the thunderbolt. It has been made with so much planning. It fell down on the ground, so it fell down. Pick it up and throw it at me. Otherwise, I'm going to kill you anyway. This is for sure. As far as I have any power in my body, I'm going to try to kill you. I'm not worried about winning or losing. On this topic, I am the proof. Here he's giving his own example. Usually when people talk about Siddhanta or philosophy, they don't usually give their own example. But here he's giving his own example. Very rarely some person has given his own example, like Sri Naradji, that by doing satsang and by eating the remnants of the Vaishnavas, one can become so elevated. On this subject matter, he gave his own example. He is saying, in the Sanskrit slokas, Hey Vyasadev, Hey Mune, in my last life I was the servant of a maid. I was the son of a maid servant. But fortunately, my mother, she used to serve the Vaishnavas. For 4 months, the sadhus, they stayed, because of the rainy season, they stayed at this place, and my mother was engaged in washing their pots and helping cleaning and cooking. And for 4 months, I stayed there with them, and I heard from them, and ate whatever was left over in their plate. And from that, I have come to this position. And later on, I had become... the son of Lord Brahma. But we didn't. So Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva, so you write a scripture on the glorification of the Lord, and then your heart will be satisfied. And here Vitasura is also giving his own example when he's preaching to Indra. He's saying, look at me, Vikran Ayud Bhujam, my bhuja, my arm, has been cut off by you. But my duty is to kill you, because this is the reason I have been born. I have been given this body to kill you, so this is what I am going to do. I am going to do my best to try to kill you in this battle. Whether I'll be able to kill you or I will not be able to kill you, or whether you will kill me, I do not know any of this, neither am I worried about any of this. I'm doing my duty, and you please learn from me, and you also do your duty. Pick up your vajra and kill me. Still, Devraj Indra, he said, I don't know what to do. Looks like I'll have to be killed by your hands. You will kill me. You're just saying this. All this big philosophy, but you're going to kill me, I know. Don't make me fight. Let me go home. And then Vitasura said, no. He said, what is this battle? In any activity, who knows what will happen? The uncertainty in this battle, Vitasura is giving the example of a game of dice in trying to make Indra understand. I don't know how to, I've never played dice, I don't even know how to play cards, so I don't really understand what he is talking about as the game of dice. But here Vitasura is talking about dice. Those who have played dice or those who have gambled before, they will be able to understand it. They will understand Bhagavat. They will be able to understand the Bhagavatam at this point. Text 17. Hey Devraj Indra, what is this battle? It is a gambling match. So just like when they gamble, they put some coins or something for stake. So here, in Sanskrit, that stake is called glaha. So Vitasura is saying, pran glaha. So what is in this gambling match of this battle? What is the stake we put? Is the life? Pran glaha. This is what will be at stake. Pran, life. On both sides is life. Life from that side or life from this side? Pran. So the lives are at stake. And Ishvaksha means the dice. When they play gambling, they have some kind of dice. So what is the dice in this battle? Are the arrows. Arrows are the dice. So there's stake, When there's a gambling game, there's a stake and there's a dice and there is a board, game board. So the dice are the arrows are the dice. And the horses and elephants are the game board. Vahan, vahan, asana. Asan means the board, game board. What is the game board for this gambling? Is the horses and elephants, and arrows are the dice, and lives are at stake. He says, atra na gyayate. In this game, gambling match of battle, atra na jayate. Nobody knows. Mushya jayo, amushya parajaya. Who will be Jaya and who will be Parajaya? No one can understand. Those who have gambled, they will know, they'll be able to understand that it's, one cannot know who will win and who will lose the match. In the same way, in the battle, and also in all other kind of activities, nobody knows who's going to live, who's going to die. It all depends on providence. Who will become diseased? Who will get heart attack? Who all will take birth tomorrow? Where? And what were they before? And actually in battle, really nobody knows who's going to win, who's going to lose. Not at all. Until now, did you know that you will drop the vajra from your hand? Did I know that my arm will get cut off? In the same way, we don't know what will happen. We should just do our duty, and whatever will happen, will happen. Our duty is to fight and not to worry about the results. In this way, he is trying to excite Lord Indra to start fighting again. When Vritasura, in this way, he was trying to excite Indra, Indra started smiling, and he picked up his vajra. With the vajra in his hand, smilingly, he started to glorify Vritasura. He didn't fight. Indra Uvacha, text number 19. He is glorifying Vritasura. Aho Danav Siddho Asi. Oh, great demon, I see that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Lord. You are Siddha. This particular verse has to be spoken in great detail. I will speak about it tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll talk about how Devaraj Indra glorified Vritasura and how he killed Vritasura. And day after tomorrow it'll be the katha of how Indra will be he will have the reaction of killing Vritasura. How he will get the Brahma Hatya on his head and how he'll get relief. And it is said in that topic, in the Bhagavatam, that whoever hears that topic, the person can be relieved from any sinful, past sinful activity, any past sinful reaction. Every human being makes mistake of some kind or other. Sukadev Goswami says, to hear this, a person becomes prosperous, glorious, long-lived, all his enemies disappear. It's all auspicious. Idam Mahakhyan. There is so much wonderful result of hearing these glories, the following topics. That's the next chapter 13. King Indra afflicted by sinful reaction. This katha of how Lord Indra became free from the killing of Vaishnava and Brahmana. This katha is a very wonderful katha to hear. Then a human being becomes assured by hearing all this, that a person, by making so many offenses and sins, there is some chance for him in this life to be relieved and become purified. Indra had made a very great mistake. First he killed his guru Vishwamba, and then he killed Vitrasu. But still he used to engage in devotional service and do bhajan for Lord Sri Krishna. And although all the other people and sadhus, they had instigated Lord Indra, "You must kill him, you must kill him, we're helping you, we're on your side." So he was instigated by all these people for the welfare of all the living entities who were tortured by this Vitasura. Although he was a Vaishnava, but from a worldly point of view, he would have been called a Rakshas, a demon. It's an amazing katha. So tomorrow will be killing of Vitasura, and the day after, the next chapter will be Indra will be relieved from the sinful reaction. And after hearing these four chapters of Vitasura katha, King Parikshit says, after saying, speaking these four chapters, Sukadev Goswami says, "It's Maha Akhyan. This is the great four description of these four chapters. One gets all auspiciousness, the Lord's bhakti, and all the other wonderful, such as to be prosperous and long-lived and bhakti, all material and spiritual benefits. After all, a human being wants these things, all these things. A person wants all these things, and all these things are attained simply by hearing this katha of Vitasur, simply by hearing. So this must be done. This is very important. Text 18. Text 17. So, Sukadev Goswami says that up till now, Vitasura, in the middle of the battlefield, has been preaching to Indra in this way. And hearing the straightforward instructions from Vitasura, Indra praised him. And again he took the thunderbolt in his hand. And without bewilderment or duplicity, he smiled and spoke to Vitasura as follows. Now Indra could understand that Vitasura was a great Vaishnava. And because of being engaged in pure devotional service, he could speak in this way. Here Sukadev Goswami says, Indra vritra vachaha srutva pujayat, that Indra, hearing the vacha of Vitasur, vachan of Vitasur, he Pujayat means he did puja means puja here means that he worshipped him with words, gave him many thanks without duplicity. Alik means duplicity. Here, gata alikam means without duplicity. Here, Indra was speaking without duplicity. Prahasam means smiling. Prahasam. He is speaking to Vritasu. Here we should take note that who is speaking here? He is King Indra, king of all the heavens. He has on his fingertips all the bhog, all the enjoyment of the heavenly planets. And what is he doing? He is glorifying a demon. And it is very clear that here Indra is feeling that he doesn't have the same feelings of devotional service as Vritasura has. He is feeling that he is lacking. So here Bhagavan Indra, in the middle of the battlefield, he is glorifying Vritasura. Indra Uvacha, number 19. Aho, aho, Danav. Aho means, oh, what great surprise, like that. Oh, great demon. This is such a something to be so happy about, to think that having taken birth in a demoniac family, you are a Siddha Vaishnava. In the Shastra scriptures, Siddha is that person who, in devotional service to the Supreme Lord, one who has attained pure devotional service completely, that is actually Siddhi. That is the real Siddhi. It is said that those who are free from kam, krodh, mod, anger, lust, anger, greed, etc., and who are on the spiritual platform, they are considered Siddhas. But actually, from the Shastra, studying the Shastra, we can understand the real Siddha Purush, the real Siddha person, is one who has attained pure devotional service, one who is a Bhakta. Siddha means perfect. Bhakti actually is the perfection. That one has prem and bhakti towards the Supreme Lord, that is actual the perfection of human form of life. Or it is the perfection of any living entity's life. Indra is saying, Aho Danav, Siddha Asi, you are Siddha. Your life is glorious. Why? Yasya te mati ridrishi. Because you have such a consciousness as this, such pure intelligence. Because how do I know you have a shuddha buddhi? Pure intelligence, because bhaktaha sarvatmanam, sarvatmana, atmanam, suridam, jagat ishwaram. Because you are a pure, perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jagat ishwaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suridam, the greatest friend. Sarva Atmana, without diversion, you have served without diversion, you have greatest friend of everyone. Here, Indradev is saying the qualities of the Supreme Lord, which is Atmanam, Suhridam, Jagat Ishwaram. These are three qualities of the Supreme Lord. And Sarvatmana means you have with your man, your mind and your vachan by your words and by your body in all ways you have done bhakti to the Supreme Lord. What kind of Supreme Lord? One who is Sarvatmanam, one who is in all the living entities' heart, in the form of Paramatma. This is one of the qualities he is saying of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam means again and again we should meditate on these qualities of the Supreme Lord that are mentioned in the verses. Vritasura was glorifying the Supreme Lord. Indradev, also being a devotee of the Lord, is glorifying Vritasura and saying the qualities of the Lord. So Bhagavan, the Lord is Atma. He is in everyone's heart. And and the word param is joined to Atma, means Paramatma. Shri Krishna is called Atma, Hari. Hari or Shri Krishna is called Atma. In the word Atma, there is two syllables, At and Ma. Atma means Vyapak, one who is everywhere. And Ma means the cause, same as that of mother. So the Lord is everywhere and He is everyone's mother or father. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the father of all living entities. So if somebody makes a question, so who is the mother? I am the mother, he says. I am also the mother. He says, I am everyone's father, everyone's mother, everyone's maintainer and everyone's grandfather also. Pitamaha. The Lord is saying very clearly. So Ma means the cause, Karan, the one who gives birth. He is the one, the Supreme Lord is giving birth to the whole creation. And He is omnipotent, and that is why He is called Atma. Atma. And Param means Param. First quality, Indra is saying that the Lord has given everyone birth and He is everywhere. And second quality He is giving is, and He is Suhridam, means He is the well-wisher of all living entities, friend. The Lord is always busy in the welfare of all the living entities. How everyone will be maintained and how everyone can be taken care of. And that is why he is taking he's incarnating again and again. Came himself as Lord Sri Krishna, he came himself as Lord Chaitanya, and sometimes he sends his own pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, his parshads. So he has always his kripa, his mercy on all the living entities. Just like in this world, mother and father are naturally well-wishers of their child. In the same way, the Supreme Lord is the well-wisher and a friend of all living entities. Suridam sarva bhutanam. And the third thing, Jagadishwaram, that he is the controller, Jagat Ishwaram. He is the controller of the whole Jagat, the whole creation. In Jagat, in the creation, is Brahma, Lord Shiva, and everybody else. This is spoken by Devraj Indra. That Bhagavan Vishnu is in the heart of all living entities, Paramatma, he is everyone's Surid, and he is Niyamak of everybody, he is controller of everyone. And of such a Supreme Lord, you are a devotee, and that's why your life is glorious. What Devraj Indra was trying to say is, oh, we are all not like, we are all demigods, but we are not devotees like you. Devraj Indra himself is a very great devotee. That is why he can pinpoint another great Vaishnava and the glories of his devotion. Only a person who is a devotee can recognize devotion. He himself is very dear to the Lord. Lord Indra is. He is a devotee. And we can understand this from another example. One time Hiranyakashipu was doing great austerities. So by doing so many austerities, his body became totally eaten by termites. All his skin and flesh was eaten away. And all the dirt and grass covered his bones. So the demigods thought, well, good, this great demon has died by his own sins. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't dead. Later, Lord Brahma came and sprinkled some water from his kamandal, and his body became youthful again. While he was doing his great austerities and the termites were eating his flesh and blood, and they thought he was dead, so the demigods thought this was a very good opportunity to invade his kingdom. So they totally looted his kingdom. Hiranyakashipu actually had stolen all those valuables from the heavenly planets, so they took all of it back. They took the airplanes and they took everything back. So Indra, he glanced upon Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu. She was pregnant. So Indra thought that in her womb is a part of Hiranyakashipu, so this will have to become a second Hiranyakashipu. So take this woman, and when she, after she has delivered the child, we shall kill the child. So demigods were after all afraid that when this child is born and when he grows up, how great a demon he will be if his father is such a great demon, Hiranyakashipu. How can he be any less? They thought that he was dead. They thought Hiranyakashipu was dead, but here in the womb is his child. So Devraj Indra just wanted to take that woman, his wife, Hiranyakashipu's wife, away, just so he, when the child is born, he could kill the child. So she was crying, and this katha, Prahlad Maharaj himself has spoken to his friends at the Gurukul in the seventh canto. So the demigods, headed by Indra, were taking away Hiranyakashipu's wife, and on the way, they met Narad Muni. So Narad Muni stopped him and said, Devraj Indra, in this mother's womb is not another Hiranyakashipu, there is a great devotee. So do not try to kill him, and you will not be able to kill him. He is very powerful, he is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. You will never be able to kill him. Protect yourself from this sin and forget it. And please, let the mother go. So when Indra heard from Narad Muni that in the womb of this woman is a great devotee of Krishna, So he let her go. And just because he understood that in her womb was a Vaishnava, he got off from her airplane and he started doing parikrama of Kayadu. That this is the wife of a demon, and the child is a part of the demon. But just by knowing from Narad Muni that he is a Vaishnava, Devraj Indra, because he was a great devotee himself, he started to do parikrama of Kayadu. This is said. Then he offered his obeisances to the child inside the womb, and then he offered his obeisances to the mother of the child. So this is the nature of the devotees. This is the nature of the demigods. This is the nature of King Indra. So King Indra recognized, because he himself was such a great devotee, when he heard, after hearing from Vitasur, he could recognize that here is a great pure Vaishnava. So here Indra is saying, hey great demon, you're a Siddha. And why? Because you have worshipped the Lord, Bhakta Sarvatmana. Sometimes mana means, Sarvatmana means by your mind, body, intelligence. You're glorious And having your darshan, I have become glorious. In this way, Indra is talking to his enemy, Vritasura. And Vritasura is telling him to pick up your thunderbolt and fight. So here Vritasura was glorifying the Supreme Lord, and Indra is glorifying Vritasura. And text 20, with Indra says, definitely you have won over the illusory energy of the Lord. The Maya, which has illusioned every living entity, you have surmounted that Maya. Every person in this world, he is thinking, this body, I am this body, and this family is mine. Actually, the Supreme Lord's illusionary energy is unsurmountable. One cannot win over it. This Maya has put everybody in great illusion, agyan, in ignorance. First of all, to understand that this body is me. I should get this, I should get that. This is second Maya. First, the topmost first Maya is not to understand their own Swarup. That is the topmost Maya, is to not understand their Swarup, that they are servant of Krishna. And then to second Maya is to understand this body to be their Swarup. Third Maya is to have attachment to wife, children, family, house, etc. And fourth Maya is dvesh, envy. I don't like this person, this thing I don't like, this thing is not for me. That's called dvesh. And fifth is abhinivesh. To forget themselves in so many thoughts. That's called abhinivesh. There's five kind of Maya. And being entangled in this Maya, one thinks that I am this body, and this is mine, he's mine, she's mine, this is mine, I made this, I did this. I'm the enjoyer. This is the Lord's Maya. But Vritasura was beyond all this. He said, Indra says, Atarshi Maya. Tar, you crossed over all this Maya. You're not thinking this, I am this, this is mine, this is mine. On the contrary, you want to leave this body and you want to go to the Supreme Lord's abode. You're glorious. He says, Jan Mohini Vaishnavi Maya. Jan Mohini means which this Vaishnavi of Lord Vishnu, this Maya, this illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Jan Mohini, it deludes all the masses of people. And you have crossed over it. Why? Because yat vihaya suram. You've given up asuri bhav. Vihaya asuram bhavam. You've given up asuric bhav and mahapurushitam gataha. And you've got the gati of mahapurush. You've attained the position of exalted devotee. That is how you have surpassed, surmounted this great illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is called Mahapurush, Purusha, and one who becomes a Vaishnava, a devotee of Mahapurush Vishnu, is called Mahapaurusha. Mahapurusha and Mahapaurusha. Mahapaurus. Paurusha. This was the position attained by Maharaj Parikshit too. Sometime in this world, a person who's a little bit qualified in this world, we call them Mahapurush. You're a Mahapurush. You're a Mahapurush. But that's okay. But real Mahapurush is Lord. And the devotee of Mahapurush is called Mahapaurushye. Srila Prabhupada writes here, how you were born in a demoniac family with demoniac nature, and how you've given up your demoniac nature and you've taken up to be a devotee of Mahapurush. And this is the proof that you have surmounted this illusory energy Maya. Whatever family or country a person may have been born, but after coming into the association of devotees, he can become Mahapurushya. He can become a devotee of the Mahapurush. He will become a Siddha person. This verse is from Canto 2nd, 418, where Sukadev Goswami is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. He's saying that Kirat, Hunas, Andhras, Pulindas, Pulkashas, Sumbhas, Yavanas, and members of the Khasa races, who eat most abominable foodstuffs and drink wine, he can be any most fallen person, but when he takes shelter of the devotees of the Lord, he becomes purified. This is the power of the Supreme Lord. So it is said here that even a person like Vritasur, who was born in a complete mode of ignorance family, is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. This is a very great thing, and this is called to win over the Maya of the Supreme Lord. To not be under the modes of your nature under which you are born, and to do bhakti for the Supreme Lord, this is called to win over Maya. Just like by the illusory energy, everyone goes to sleep at night. Everyone who's filled with lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. But those who take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, slowly, slowly, they lose all these bad qualities, and Maya feels like she's defeated. Devraj Indra says to Vritasura, "You have won over Maya. We're all still in Maya. We're still desiring that we should have this heavenly kingdom, and then we should enjoy our senses, our bodies, that I should remain the king of the heavens and continue to enjoy, but you're considering this whole heavenly kingdom, the whole creation, to be as insignificant as a straw on the street, and you want to go to the Golok Vrindavan, you have won over Maya. Actually, if there's anything worth doing in this world, it is this. By nature, according to everyone's birth, they have some faults in their nature. For these faults that we are born under due to our nature, to cover these with the Lord's devotional service, this is winning over Maya. And Indra says, but still he says, Indra says, I cannot understand, O Vitasura. Demons are generally conducted by the modes of passion, and it is such a wonder to me that although you are born as a demon, how is it that you were able to adopt the mentality of a devotee? And how is it that you were able to fix your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is always situated in pure goodness? In this battlefield, where to kill and cut is the dharma, that where one thinks that I should win, I should live. And here, in this such a place, your mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord. Your mind is not fixed on the fact that I should win, and then I should win, and I should enjoy the heavens, but on the Supreme Lord. Dhrida Mati. Dhrida means firm. Mati means consciousness. It is so deep. Dhrida means firm, deeply rooted. It's so deeply rooted, your consciousness on the Supreme Lord, that it cannot be rooted out. So much dhridamati you have. Arm is cut off, but you're not worried about it. In this condition, you're glorifying the Lord. This is called dhridamati. In one Sanskrit sloka, it is said that the gentlemen people, even when they're in suffering, when they're in the middle of suffering, from their mouth, only nice things are spoken. And a rascal, doesn't matter how much happiness he's in, he speaks such bad things that person should not even say it in a joking way. He always says something nonsense. Great personalities, even when they're suffering, they say nice things to others. This poet is giving the example of sugarcane. Sugarcane, when it's squashed through a machine, his body becomes totally squashed into straws. Even in that condition, that sugarcane oozes out sweet juice. The person who's giving this sugarcane so much pain, putting him through the machine and squashing all the juice till the sugarcane comes out as little pieces of shreds. Till the very end, this sugarcane is giving sweetness to this person who's giving him pain. This is what a poet is singing. Even though his life is finishing the sugar canes, he's giving sweet juice. And even after all the juice, every drop of juice, again and again, they put it through the machine, so till every drop of juice is taken out. And then when they burn it as fuel, and then a sweet smell comes out. This is the nature of a sadhu. forget battlefield, even in temple room, if we tell somebody, you speak something about Krishna, they will start shaking and shivering. Even if we tell somebody, don't speak anything, just say Hare Krishna on the mic, just sing Hare Krishna, their body starts shivering and shaking. One should by nature always be speaking about the Supreme Lord. Even if you can't remember anything else, at least you remember the Maha Mantra, can you not? Day and night we should be chanting this. When then someone loves Krishna, he does not stop talking about Krishna. He will just keep on talking. The materialistic people, they have no knowledge really, and wherever they go, they're always glorifying themselves. You see, they're always talking about their own stories. We've seen this. Wherever they go, they talk about themselves. Here Vitasura is not saying one word about himself. He's speaking about the Supreme Lord. And Indra is also talking about the Lord. But he is being very, he is in great wonder. How is it that, although born in a family of demons, he is so much elevated as an exalted devotee? How did this bhakti arise in your heart? To even bhakti to arise in one's heart, they should have some good conduct. There should be mode of goodness, cleanliness, shanti. Then bhakti takes birth. But day and night fighting and mode of ignorance, to harass all the living entities, to torture. How is it that you become such a great Vaishnava? How is it that you have adopted even the mentality in this life? Actually, whatever one's background may be, but if he gets the association of the devotees of the Lord, he can become a devotee. The bhakti will take birth in his heart.